Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Self-Help Center podcast. In the background of my voice, you should be able to hear Hootie and the Blowfish hold my hand, but you probably can't because there's been some sort of problem with Audacity not taking or playing up auxiliary lines. So since we can't hear it, I'm just going to turn that down and fuck it. So this is going to be for July. Excuse me, I'm finishing the last of my second bottle, that is, of Arbor Mist wine, which, as you all know, is probably like 6%. So, oh yeah, here we go. Why don't we just go right to the, me reading you something from the blog. Alright, there we go. This is from July 8th, so you're all caught up. I need to get out and do something. I've been stuck in this goddamn condo for what seems like months or something. I need to mac on chicks. I need to walk straight up to a chick and deliver a classic line about how, like, my shit is so funny, it's like you're Terry Schiavo and my intelligence is a feed tube and I'm pumping you full of nutrition and you're like possibly dead except for the occasional eye movement, which may or may not have anything to do with a conscious mind in there. And how am I doing? Probably not well, huh? But don't show it. Or kick me to the curb too quickly, because my friend said this line would never work, and, well, we both know it ain't gonna work, but fuck them for knowing it, and fuck them for knowing that it won't work and telling me that it won't work. It's like, who gets to make them know how shit's going down? Why we gotta let the fucking standard shit work only? Why not sit down and drink a beer with a possible schizophrenic? What could possibly happen? I think I mentioned rape jokes and how chicks, no matter how fucking progressive a girl is, she just never gets rape jokes and how they're never fucking funny and all that. So here I am trying to get you with the rape joke and the Terry Schiavo jokes and feeding tube jokes that make you seem possibly like an invalid. Which is, I think, is where I went with the rape jokes. And then I think it was around that time that you finally got outfed with all my raping feed tube could be viewed as my cock in your mouth jokes and picked your floral covered dress off the bench and went back inside and pointed at me like I'm some kind of creeper, when all you are is some kind of prissy little bitch that never fucks ugly dudes, which, by the way, is just exactly the kind of woman that gets raped. So now I understand your concern. You see, at the time I had no idea. Okay, there it is. You see, at the time, I had no idea you were a prissy little cunt. I thought you were a hipster scene girl, or maybe emo and nerdy and liked computers, and liked to talk about the Android third-party market, and how you'd be upset if you were on AT&T and couldn't download a fantastic app like Skype just because it wasn't approved by Google. But fuck me. One fucking joke about rape, and I'm dead to you. One little smack talk about regurgitating your intestines with my penis because you were in need of some intellectual redress, and you get prissy fucking tears in your eyes, like I'm the kind of guy who spends his time downloading videos of puppies getting boiled alive on YouTube. I'm not like that. Certainly I watch said videos and laugh, but let's face it, a lot of kids do that these days. I just don't waste my time downloading that shit because other people do it for me. Speaking of your panties, don't wear such a see-through skirt if you don't want me talking about your underwear. I was just curious if you knew I could see through your skirt as I saw through it from like 30 feet away with a simple glance. Not even trying, as I told you. Did not want to. I've got Japanese porn for that. I don't need to creeper it with you, even if I am peeking on E. The drug's not sexual. I told that to the bouncer. I told that to the cop. I told that to your sister after she got up to go get them both. I think everyone knows that E's not sexual, so I was not assaulting you with my eyes. What the fuck does that even mean? Like I told your sister, it's obvious she wants me to look at her panties and nipples because she ain't wearing any fucking underwear, and she is wearing a very sheer outfit. That does not make me Rush Limbaugh. I'm not a racist. I'm not saying that the only reason Obama is president is because he's black. In reality, I wish I was black. It would make a hell of a lot of things easier on me, like playing basketball and picking up on white girls with big asses. Not that I really want to do either of those things, but you get my point. Black people have it so easy these days, with the food stamps, the welfare, and a black president. Also, the fact that if I was black, I'd know what I'd want for dinner every day. Fried chicken, orange crush soda, Aunt Jemima anything. And knowing what's for dinner solves 56% of life's problems. Okay, so then let's go to the second post of July so far. This is from July 6th, even though I actually wrote it today. But I don't like having more than one post shown on the day on the blog, so I made sure that this actually came up on the 6th, but whatever. So this one's called I'm Not Drunk. Drinking 6% wine with a screw top. I'm also developing a less formal style where I'm just rapping with you. I drank through two bottles of fake sangria, Boone's and Vine Arbor. Both taste more like wine coolers than real wine. Since real wine sucks, I guess this is a good thing. Despite my new less formal writing style, witness no capitalization, bitches. I just wrote a long-ass speech that included dialectics, my analysis of Hegel's master-slave dichotomy, Heideggerian dread, the real threat of the robotic overthrow, etc. You know, the usual shit you read on this blog, but shoved down your face through a feeding tube, Terry Schiavo style. Which just means that the whole time you want to die, and I just want to collect on your insurance money, and the whole, maybe you're moving, maybe you're not, it's just a random stimulus reaction is creeping me out. That kind of cerebral feeding tube approach to writing led me to the cerebral approach to drinking I took tonight. Wine over beer. The buzz with wine is mature, but more mellow and relaxed than you get pounding shots of Goldschlager. Also, wine makes you buzz faster than beer, though light beer has fewer calories. Boone's wine has 450 calories a bottle, which I guess means I'll have to give up eating. Not eating as good as I'm a fat ass again, as I put on 15 pounds that I lost when I gave up drinking soda a few months ago. Started drinking soda again, and it was like, wham bam, man, the pounds just waddled back onto my side fat. And the only good news, style-wise, peeps are digging my kicks. I get a hell of a lot of unsolicited compliments on my fake Chuck Taylors. You can get yours at 10 bucks a pop at Walmart. Just tell them Romeo's Tea sent you, and I make like 5 cents for each one they sell. That's not true, of course, but wouldn't it be funny if hundreds of you peeps bought like mad amounts of fake Chucks and then wrote to the company and said I sent them, and then Walmart got all pissy and pussy about me selling their shit on my site since I make like 16 rape jokes a day? P.S. If you're not watching the Louis TV show over at the FX Networks, you're like missing out on one of the funniest shows ever and shit. It's truly fucking epic shit, making fun of homeless people, queers, AIDS. Louis tells you that you're less moral than you think, just like I do, only he usually just talks about himself and never goes after the audience as much as I do because he's all about the money. Just the other day, the fucker walks through my line at a grocery store and I was like, holy shit, Louis C.K. Louis C.K. says, oh, hey, man, thanks. I look over at the band of misfits that clog up my line behind him. Folks, I tell him, this guy's a millionaire. You should mug him on his way out. He laughs a little, but he looks behind him a little nervous because, after all, he is kind of a bitch. Then I go, I got a bone to pick with you, man. I've been writing the same shit you do for the last 7 years on my blog, and I'm not a millionaire like you. C.K. Well, you know, with all due respect, you're probably not writing as good a shit as I do. I throw CK his bitch-ass change. I hope somebody rapes you on the way out, I yell at him. He laughs a little again and says, yeah, I kind of thought that one was funny. I shoot him back a deadly serious look. You would, you little faggot. And now we got the last one, and I don't know if we have enough space or time, but hopefully we will. It's called I Need a Vampire Girlfriend Revamped. You think by now I'd be fed up with how things are, how my life sucks, how I hate my job, and how I'm all alone in the world. But for some reason, no matter how much shit I throw at myself, I never reach the point where I say, enough's enough. I'm a bottomless pit. Throw all my regrets down the well and you'll never hear them hit the ground. Not that I'd ask your advice, but I bet you'd say that if I want a girlfriend, I need to quit being so needy. One way to quit being needy is to follow through on more of my life's plans. 2 weeks ago, I made a plan to get my hair cut. I finally got that haircut yesterday. Sure, it took me a few more weeks than I thought it would, but a haircut is about all the accomplishment I can handle in a week. Given that I've gotten something accomplished this week, I think I'll overlook the phone call I've got from the ex-internet girlfriend. She asked me if I ever went to the doctor to get a checkup. I told her no, then she asked if I had a death wish or something, and I told her, hey, nobody wants to live past 60 anyways. I should have gone to the doctor because I'm dealing with a cold. I'm having trouble swallowing. It's really kind of annoying. On top of not swallowing properly, I keep waking up in the middle of the night. I jerk out of some fitful sleep, unable to catch my breath. I don't know if my throat's closing up again because I'm drinking soda, or if the cold is just making my throat shut down. But either way, I wake up gasping for air and then I settle down for a nice long panic attack. Panic attack subdued, I finally fall asleep around 9 a.m. Then I wake up around noon and I lie in bed, panting like a 14-year-old Labrador retriever. I stare into the fan until my eyes bleed. I shift back and forth on the bed uncomfortably, looking for a position that keeps me from sweating, but I'm also looking for a position that does not force me to inhale the full gale force of the wind machine. It's a tough balance, but my tossing and turning fails, and mostly I just end up with a dry throat, coughing, and blowing my nose into tissues, which just seems to only further dry out my sinuses. Another thing is I seem to be peeing a lot. Just tiny amounts, though. I'm forced to get out of bed like every 20 minutes or so. I assume my prostate is fucked. I can't believe that 39 years of age can be reached and the body can really fall apart like this. I know what some of you are thinking. Maybe this is all in your head. Maybe. But if so, I'm so far down the delusion of hypochondria that I can no longer tell what's real. Rather than go to a doctor, I'm self-medicating. I have not masturbated in 5 days. I'm hopeful that not spending my energy masturbating will enable me to power through this cold, or at least the closing of my throat. But if I die in the middle of the night, know that my last moments were panicked moments, full of sheer terror. My biggest fear is suffocating to death. If I'm going to die tonight, I hope I shit out my prostate before I suffocate. That way I can die in my sleep. My insides, having evacuated themselves during sleep, my unconscious brain would never turn on to let me know I was dead. I could just join the undead instead of date them. Hold on a sec. Gotta pee. I sit on the toilet when I pee. Otherwise, I'm afraid that the pathetic dribble of my stream will fall onto the carpeted floors of my bathroom. Who has carpeted bathrooms? I do. That's how fucked my life is. How uncontrollably wrong every aspect of my life is. It's another thing keeping me from getting a girlfriend. Have you ever dated a man with carpeted bedrooms, ladies? I doubt it, but if you did, I know you never respected him. I have a pool of blood sitting on the top of my toenail. I wish you were a vampire. That way, you could wake up every morning, and I could sustain you with a nice little before-breakfast moment of bloody toe sucking. You could suck on my toes and would overlook how deformed I'm becoming. I've let the toenail thing go too long, and I think I will need some kind of plastic surgery to right myself. I can't be seen in public by a woman anymore. I think that's why I don't go on dates. Imagine me trying to explain that I've had an infected, ingrown toenail for almost a year and a half. Imagine explaining to your non-vampire girlfriend that you have health insurance, but that you're too confused by the promotional literature to pick out a doctor. Non-vampire girlfriend would not understand how worried I am about a $300 deductible. I'm sure that non-vampire girlfriend would be unable to reconcile my concern when faced by counterfactual evidence like my internet searches for cell phones and upgradable memory sticks for my desktop computer. She would also question my use of ecstasy tonight, which will cost me $25. I'm sure a vampire girlfriend would not. Vampires live in a sort of vague hedonism, from what I've learned. Also, since they self-heal, a vampire girlfriend would never find the wisdom in saving money for health reasons. I can't die, my vampire girlfriend would tell me. Then she would go on about how I can't live forever without being turned, and that since I'm in such a bad shape, she'd never consider the idea of being tied down to such a blob for an eternity. Then she'd say that I might as well forget about all that stuff because I'll be dead in the blink of a lifetime for her. I would massage her back, and she'd suck on my toe, and then later that night we'd get some dinner at Denny's, and she'd lament how they never get the liver raw enough, and nibble hungrily on some of the dead meat of my toe all the way back to my apartment, where we'd watch something sappy on TV because vampire girls loved the same TV shows they loved before they got turned. And at some point, my new vampire girlfriend would want to talk to me about her decision to cut off her hair and bleach it blonde. I know it's nothing like what most normal vampires do, she'd say, but I love it, she'd explain. Her hair does look nice. It's all about change and how you adapt to it, I'd offer up eagerly. And we'd probably fumble around in a bit in the dark, and then my penis would get soft too soon for her, and she'd ask to suck on my toe again, and I'd be like, yeah, well, whatever. Well, there you go, folks. It's the end of the show. And maybe we'll see you next month. This is Romeo's T signing off.